it's recoupable against the income of your royalties.
Okay. So, yeah.
And that's why we have managers.
Okay, yeah, I hear that.
Because it's complex. No, and then...
If you don't have a manager, you finna be finessed, though.
Yeah. Get yourself a manager, bro.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of What My Best Friend Does, where we talk about what your best friends do so you don't have to. Today, I'm talking to my best friend, the music producer, Monroe. Monroe, welcome to the show.
Hey, bro.
How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm very well. We like to start with a little icebreaker, Monroe.
Let's get it.
What did you want to be growing up?
A music producer.
Okay. So maybe for one of the first times on the show, you out here living out your dream.
Okay. Damn. Yeah.
So obviously you started as an aspiring musician.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you've kind of scaled the heights to be a Grammy nominated music producer, which is insane. Can you briefly just talk me through that journey?
I'd probably started making music when I was like 14, 15. Mm-hmm. And I used to make music with my cousin, who's now my manager. Mm-hmm. We used to make a lot of music together. And then it probably got to like 18. And then we started filming. So we started filming rappers, just producers, like traveling and just, yeah, any rapper that came over from America, we'd like film, had a little group of friends, and
SBTV before SBTV?
Probably after, inspired by SBTV.
Oh, inspired by SBTV.
Yeah. You know what it is.
I do.
So, we used to film, and then the plan was kind of like film these people, do like documentaries or interviews with them, freestyles, put them on our YouTube channel. But at the same time, I was trying to get to these artists and producers so I could play them my beats and be like, what do you think of me as a producer?
And,
and I wasn't perfecting my craft because I was spending so much time filming and editing. So it didn't really work out that way. But I met some people along the way that later on in my journey would amount to success, which is cool. Mm-hmm. And like people I'm still in contact with, producers that are filmed and artists that are filmed. I think we were like filming big people, but it just wasn't what I was filming. People living out my dream, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I remember I went on tour with Flume. Mm-hmm. We were filming him and I was just watching him like, damn, that's what I want to do. Like, yeah. I want to be making music and producing and people hearing that. And and then so I had to like bring it back to basics, just start working with up and coming artists and like rebuild again. And then we're here now.
Okay, amazing. And you know, you speak about going back to basics, right? So, you know, you've had this job where you've been flying around and you've been doing the editing. Like, did you ever have it in your head like, oh, damn, I might need to get a job? Like, or no, you always just knew, okay, music is my passion. I'm going to go all in on this.
Probably, yeah. There was probably times, definitely, still times where I'm like, should I get a job? A lot. There's always doubt.
And in terms of, like your musical talent, I suppose when it comes to producing, how many different instruments can you play? Because I've seen you playing hella.
I can pretend to play. No, I can play guitar, keys, bass, bit drums, singing a bit.
And have you always been able to play all of those instruments, or is that stuff that you've learned since you were 14?
Yeah, I've been playing all those instruments since I was like 13, 14. Man. But the thing is like, I used to be obsessed with playing, and then once I got a laptop and started making beats, I just stopped practicing. And I'm like, now I only really play those instruments when I'm making music. So I'm not like, there are guitarists who just focus on playing guitar and they're incredible. And then there's like me, who's a producer guitarist. Like, I can get by and I can play some cool stuff. But if you have like a guitarist who is a master at guitar, there's a big difference.
I hear that. And yeah, you know, you mentioned the fact that you're a producer. Like, how would you define being a producer? Obviously, you know, we hear the backing tracks of, you know, all of these very well-known songs. Can you talk me through what that process looks like for producing a beat?
I think a producer, because there's always this like thing, like a beat maker is this and a producer is this and the difference is, and I think a producer is just like someone who is with this from like with the song from the birth to the end. Someone who's like yeah, he's just making creative decisions to make a big impact in what the final song is, final product is. It's like, yeah, whether it's, and it's like kind of varies because it's like making the whole thing, like doing all the instruments, everything, helping write with the artist, or engineering the vocals, everything. Or it's someone who's like, let's bring in these instrumentalists and let's get this guitarist to play this riff, let's get this drummer to play this. It can be like a bunch of different ways to produce a song.
What process do you find works best for you? Do you find you doing everything, so all of the different instruments, producing everything, produces like the best sounds, or do you think working with other producers yields better results? It's really, can be both as well. It's not a trick question.
It's everything. Every shoe fits.
Okay, cool. And in terms of I suppose inspiration, right? Because, you know, we've had a few people on this show before and we've spoken about like the creative process. We'll get into cabin cookups in a little bit more detail later, but where do you get the inspiration for just kind of conceptualizing sounds and beats?
Just falls in from the sky. I don't know. Like, it could be anything. It could be me listening to some music and being like, I really like this vibe. Or it could be me having a conversation and being like, oh, we should try something along the lines of this. It kind of depends. If I'm on my own, then it's like on me to draw inspiration from wherever. It could be like someone sending me like a pack of melodies and me just like chopping that up and finding inspiration from that. Or it could just be me finding a cool sound that I like and just kind of creating my own inspiration and creativity. But then when I'm in the room with an artist, it's a bit different. It's like usually I have an idea of what I think they'd sound good on, but then they also know exactly their catalog and what they've been working on and what they're missing in terms of their album. And I'll always like sit down, and usually sessions with artists, it starts with like at least like an hour conversation of what's going on in life.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
What are you saying, bruv? Or, hey, on my size, yeah, you know, any man?
Hey, on my size in the studio. No.
I'm joking.
There's a very quick, this is a friend's vibe. And like, what, I don't know, like, what do you want to say? Like, what do you want to say? Yeah.
Because I think like in order to get, a lot of artists, they want to talk their truth, right? And in order for them to talk their truth, they've got to be quite open and vulnerable with you, right? So people must be sharing some stuff with
definitely.
You.
Definitely.
You've worked with some big people, innit? I share the dirts now.
No, it's like, was it the doctor patient privilege?
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. Okay. They're covered. Yeah, they're covered by you.
Yeah, all covered.
So yeah, you mentioned the fact that you spend an hour, you know, getting to know the person. For you, what does, I wouldn't even call it a typical day or week. What would a day in the studio look like when, yeah, working with an artist versus producing like a beat for yourself? Can you walk through those?
Working with an artist is usually like sessions start at like 12, 1, usually.
PM, not AM.
PM.
Okay,
but
cool.
I mean,
depends who you're working with.
Yeah, really, to be honest, yeah, like, it's so varied, like, because sometimes, yeah, rappers usually like to start later. So yeah, I'll start sessions at like, I don't know, like 10 p.m. sometimes.
Do you feel peer pressure to act a certain way if you're with a rapper? And what I mean by that, like, if we look at like Migos and that, like, they're always smoking weed and whatever. If you was in the room with Migos and they're passing the blunt to you,
I'm smoking that.
Okay, you are, like, regardless of whether it like stops you, like if it inhibits your ability to produce like the top quality beat, you're doing that.
It doesn't.
Oh, okay. Let's not put anyone on blast, but okay.
No, it doesn't. And like, because I do think a part of producing is like, or just being able to create with people is being like cool in the room, being like enjoyable to hang out with. So, I mean, I'm not going to just, do whatever they're doing, but I'm not going to change myself. I feel like I've definitely got to, I'm at an age where I'm comfortable with who I am. Maybe in the previous years, it might be a bit more like, I've got to act this way or that way. But now I'm just like,
you know yourself, you're comfortable in yourself.
Yeah.
And taking it like a step back, you know, you mentioned the fact that, you did some work with Flume and then you wanted to, you know, produce your own stuff. In terms of getting in the room with these people, right, and obviously you're working with some of the biggest artists in the world, how do those opportunities come about, right? Because there was a time where you didn't really know anyone, right, or they didn't know who you were. Is there like a moment that you remember and an opportunity that was potentially presented to you that was kind of like the catalyst for your career?
No, not really. It's like, I think it's just a bunch of different loads of little opportunities that just like...
Compound. Yeah.
it's that. It's like, at the beginning, saying like yes to a lot of stuff and just being like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll get in the room with this person because their manager is... this person's manager and I want to be with that person and it's like kind of building a network of producer friends, songwriting friends. And then like Mark, I've got my manager who's like cousin manager who is doing, always hitting people, always like...
putting fingers in pies.
Yeah. Just out there with...
All right. So I suppose where I'm going with this, like to any like creative people who are potentially looking to break into the music industry and they're looking for a foot in the door, what would your advice be to them?
Balance mastering your craft and like putting in your, what is it, 10,000 hours?
Yeah.
Putting in your 10,000 hours, but then also like networking and just getting out there, meeting people who are similar to you, who are creatives, if you can just get into the rooms and play people music and just show them what you're working on, then you're more likely to get a placement or whatever.
Have you ever tried to get into a room, play someone something, and they're like, bruv, allow it, man. Does that happen?
I had one of the worst experiences of my life.
Yeah, please tell us.
I don't know if I can say the person. I'll leave the person out.
Okay.
Because it's not any dirt on them. I just don't know if he wants people to know that
Or you can say it and we can beep it out.
One time I was in the studio and it was like super early, really, really early for me. And like this guy had a bunch of models in the room. He had a bunch of songwriters, sick producers, people that I looked up to. And it was so, so early for me. It was so early for me that I had this old white MacBook with a fake laptop charger that whenever I plugged it in, out the big speakers, it was like, zzz, and I was like, oh, shit. And he was like, yo, finally we got to a beat where he was like, oh, cool, I want to record to this. I was like, sick, after like playing him like 20 beats. And he was recording. He was like, while I record, can you make a beat like Drunk in Love by Beyonce? And I was like, sure, cool. And so I like put my headphones on and he's like, I'm trying to make it quick. And then when I eventually played him the beat, he was like, cool, you ready? And I played him the beat in front of like fucking so many people. And I was like, this is the worst beat I've ever made. And he got a phone call mid-beat and just walked out the room. And then everyone else waited till it finished and was like, all right, bro, cool, man, cool. And then just like carried on talking. And I was like, ground, swallow me up.
Wow. And, you know, when you have a situation like that, like, I suppose, how do you handle it, right? Because you could think in that moment, damn, like, that's my rep. They might talk to other people. That could be me done. Like, how did you bounce back from that situation? A lot of tears.
Yeah, in the toilet crying. I don't know. I don't really care. Like, it's okay. Just, it is what it is, isn't it? Like,
you have to take shots, right?
Yeah, facts. And like nowadays, I'm comfortable with where I'm at as a producer and a creative that when I play people beats, like people turn down my beats all the time. Like, and it's just like, that beat isn't right for that person.
It's the game.
Yeah, exactly. Like you hear, there's like videos of like Timbaland playing Jay-Z Potion by Ludacris, the beat, and Jay-Z turned it down and then it ends up being on one of Ludacris's biggest tunes. So it's like, it's just whatever's right for the artist.
Okay. We took a long segue.
We did.
But going back to what I was saying, day in the life.
Yeah,
day in the life. Talk me through it, yeah.
So, okay, cool. Typically, if a session starts at 1 p.m., and like a little gym in the morning, whatever. Get to the studio, and then it's like they turn up and we have like a, depending on the artist, we usually have like a good conversation about where they're at. I usually try and like just like get on like human level and just like have a catch up or a chat, and then it's like start the idea. I hear what they've been working on, and then I'll just like whether I'm with another producer or another songwriter, we'll just like start figuring it out, start playing chords, mm-hmm. putting drums together. I'll sort of be in my section while they're writing. And then, yeah, they'll kind of feedback, what do you think of this? And I'll be like, what do you think? As soon as I hear them humming, when I've started to make a beat, I'm like, cool, we're in a good place.
Okay.
And then, get the song done.
How many beats would you say, or songs do you produce in a session, or parts of a song?
It really depends. Like sometimes it's like, we'll just work on a full song. We'll get a whole song done. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's like, sometimes we have it where we're working on something and it's like been half of the day we were working on this song, and then they'll be like, can we try something different? And I'm like, yeah, of course.
Mad.
And then, so you can kind of come away with nothing, or half a song, or two songs, three songs. It kind of super varies.
That's so wild. I mean, it goes without saying, I suppose, you just like, how does a session come to an end? Because the way I'm hearing it is like, we could just be making songs till the cows come home.
That's actually so true. It's so true. Yeah, that's tough, because it is. I never really know. I feel like nowadays I'm better at like putting boundaries and being like, cool, let's try and finish it, like, you know, let's have a cutoff for like 10 p.m. or whatever, or 9 p.m. or I've got something. Mm-hmm. But it depends on the artist. Like sometimes we'll be in there till like midnight
if it's a big enough art. So is it like you cater depending, like the bigger the artist, the bigger grace they've got, right? Because they could help change your life
sometimes. Or I don't know, but sometimes we both have stuff to do that we need mm-hmm. to do in the evening. But there are a lot of things where I'm like, I have to get something with this person, like I'm down until they're ready to leave. Usually the artist does call it though, like
I was gonna say you can't be going burner, I'm just gonna burn out. Yeah, you know what I mean? Peace up.
It's my mom's birthday. Actually,
no, I probably would say. Oh my god, I got so many questions on this. When you're creating these songs again, is every song you're creating supposed to be enjoyed by the public? And the reason I say that is because I've had artists on this podcast before. Shout out Adidros Noni. And basically he used to say, sometimes you're in the studio and he would compare it to gym. And he's like, not every song is meant to be like, released to the public. Mm. He's like, sometimes you release a song, it's a little arms. Sometimes you produce a song, it's a legs.
Yeah.
Like for you, when you're working with these artists, is it similar, or is it every song, nah, this might be on their album, like there's stakes on it?
Usually when I'm with an artist, it is like, I'm trying to get something on the project. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm making beats, yeah, I don't know. I agree with that analogy 100%. Like every day you're in the gym, you're working, whatever. And I do, I have so many songs like on my laptop, so many beats that aren't released and will never see the light of day. But my intention usually when I'm making something is like, I would like for this to be heard.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you feel like with all of the songs that you have on your laptop, there might be projects that you're on in future where you might get inspiration, like, oh damn, I created something that I might be able to use on a future project. So you never get rid of anything because some form of it might be used 100%. In the future.
Yeah, it's definitely. An example with that is I got the song with Tori Kelly called Value. Mm-hmm. And I made the guitar loop with a guy called Ethan. We wrote a whole song to it and produced the whole song, made the whole beat. And then that song never got used, and I was like, I really like that acoustic guitar that we did that day. So I just like bounced, exported that out, made a new beat. I actually made the beat for Kehlani, and then during lockdown I sent it to Tori, and then she wrote the song and it ended up being Value. So that was something where I was like, I really like that idea. Yeah. Let me go back to it and change it.
I mean, I think we'll get onto it now, right? There's so many different ways that you can work with artists, right? You can produce a beat, give it to them, you can be in the studio, produce the song there on the day. As a music producer, like, I'm just thinking, like, where does the earnings come from? Sorry, like, do you get what I mean? So it's like,
it doesn't.
Yeah. We gotta cry some more. Hey, for just £10 a month, you can feed my boy Ross here. So please use the link in bio. No, I'm joking. So in terms of like the actual financial opportunities, obviously we know about like the Dr. Dre's, we know about the Timberlands, the this, the that. How do you actually monetize these opportunities or your beats?
Mm-hmm. Every day you work with an artist, you're not getting paid for that day. You're not getting paid to show up.
No.
Unless it's like a super, super up and coming, they really want to get in with you, okay, then you can charge like a day rate or whatever. But yeah, 9 times out of 10, you're doing it for free and you're doing it because you're planting seeds. So yeah, but then if they use the beat as a producer, you get a producer fee.
Yeah.
So they'll pay like however much you charge, mm-hmm, which is like kind of your choice how much you charge. But then the labels, yeah, if you're charging the label, so they'll tell you how much they have and stuff like that.
So is a producer fee a one-off fee, or is that a percentage of like all sales?
No, the producer fee is like a one-off fee for them to use that beat or use the song, mm-hmm, but it's usually like recoupable against the royalties, the master.
Yeah, it's recoupable against the income of your royalties.
It's recoupable against the income of your royalties.
Okay.
So, yeah. And that's why we have managers.
Okay, yeah. I hear that.
Because it's complex. No, and then...
You don't have a manager, you finna be finessed,
though. Yeah. Get yourself a manager, bro.
And then,
producer fee, and then you have, like, royalties from like the master side, and then royalties from the writing side, the publishing side. So you get like PRS pay you out quarterly.
What is PRS?
Performing Rights Society.
Okay.
Yeah, which is like, but everyone has their own. There's loads of different collection societies.
The PRS.
That's what they call themselves.
Yeah.
And then like publishing deals. So like you sign publishing deals, and they'll give you an advance.
I actually want to go into that because I feel like I have so many questions, but yeah, talk me through, you don't have to talk about your publishing deal, but what does a publishing deal look like for a producer?
Publishing deal is like, a publishing company believes in you as an artist or a writer, and they'll basically, they'll give you like an upfront fee, like an advance, mm-hmm, which you have to recoup that advance that you've been given through your music sales, your royalties, your publishing.
Those publishing deals, is it typically a 1-year publishing deal, 2-year publishing deal? It just varies.
It's usually 3 years.
Okay, yeah. Wow.
And then, so like you're in that deal for 3 years, but then they have like a retention period, which can be up to, it can be up to like life of copyright, or it can be like 12 years, 8 years.
As in like they own your masters and that?
Yeah.
Mad thing. See, I already...
It's not masters.
Oh, it's not masters. No. Okay, sorry.
They own your writing, your percentage of that writing of that song.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as a music producer, where would you say the bulk of your, where's the money making for you? Is it in the publishing deal, or is it in potentially investing in one of these songs with somebody?
It's in stuff like this, because obviously you're paying. It's in publishing deals. Yeah.
But you'd hope that you'd get like an album. Sorry, I've remembered the question now. With the publishing deal, are they doing anything else to help you to actually earn that recoup? So are they like setting up sessions with you, introducing you to artists and helping you to kind of achieve your dream?
You'd like to think so. No, they are. So they have like an A&R team, mm-hmm, they'll be pitching your songs. Like if you've got songs that are like written, you know, with songwriters, they'll be pitching them out, they'll be pitching out your beats, and then they'll be putting you in rooms, mm-hmm, with other creatives, producers, songwriters, artists.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're supposed to like pitch your music for like games, TV shows, movies, and that's like a real earner. That's like a good one.
Have you been on any TV shows, games, your music, anything like that? He's checking if he can say.
Nothing. Maybe we'll skip that.
Okay, cool. Sorry, we got to cut that shit. No, but we can. But right, regardless of whether you've done it or not, you can have aspirations, right? Mm-hmm. And like maybe you know you want to produce music for like Call of Duty one day, or maybe you're gonna have a beat on FIFA or EAFC.
That is a goal.
Because if you get on there, everybody who goes on there, they blow differently.
Facts.
Because bruv, it's like I can't even describe the playlist and like the curation? Affinity you have a playlist when you're playing FIFA. It just becomes a part of you. Like I can even go out now on a night out or to a pub, and I can be like, oh shit, that's off FIFA 10. Like, bro, that's to this day. So just know, if you achieve that goal, you're immortalized.
Exactly.
So no pressure.
Immortalized by FIFA.
Another question I had, and sorry to keep focused on this, but I just think, you know, it's good insight for people who potentially want to get into the industry. When we're talking about, like, you know, money, income, this, that, and the other, I feel like when we were talking about, like, the studio sessions, right, and you're spending time, do you ever, like, you ever hear some of, like, an artist's stuff and go, oh, it'd be a little bit better if you did that? Like, do you ever tweak, like, existing work of an artist? And because you tweak it, do you get, like, a producer credit? like, how does it work? Or are you just doing it because, like, you know, I just want the best for that person?
I try and be as honest as possible, and I'll give advice like, oh, I feel like maybe you could have gone harder with that one. But usually I do like additional production. Like, labels sometimes will hit me up and be like, yeah, can you finish off this song? And I'll just add extra sauce to it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you get a fee for that?
Yeah.
Are there any particular artists or musicians who have had a profound influence on your production style or philosophy?
Yeah, there's a lot. Everyone I listen to, but mainly, I guess, like Kanye. It's like one of the ones that I was like, oh shit.
That wasn't us endorsing him in any way.
Yeah, it's not us endorsing him.
Don't cancel us.
Yeah, don't cancel. But you can't deny it, can you? Like, growing up, listening to Kanye is like College Dropout, all that shit. Timbaland, Pharrell, all those guys. Mike Dean, he's sick.
He's a Premier League referee, no?
Yeah. So he started off as an... I'm joking.
Man of many talents. No, I'm joking.
Who else? Bon Iver.
Oh, yeah.
James Blake. Yeah. And then, like, film people like Hans Zimmer, Thomas Newman.
Of course.
Those guys, yeah.
Like, you know, we've mentioned a lot of the music stuff you do. Yeah, I mean, we see, like, Adele with Skyfall. Mm. And, yeah, there's a lot of, like, there's a Oscar, right, for best music.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself moving more into producing music for films and stuff?
That'd be sick. Like, when the opportunity arises, yeah. There's kind of... I don't want to spread myself too thin, so I'm just trying to focus on... just focus on the Grammy side instead of the Oscar side for starters, and then we'll move to the Oscars.
that helps us segue nicely. Mm. You touched on Grammys there. How many times have you been nominated for a Grammy?
Well, it's funny. I have been a part of 4 Grammy nominations. Like, I contributed to songs. Projects and songs that, went on to... receive Grammy nominations, and that's 4.
Because of that, did you get an invite to the Grammys?
I did not.
What?
I did not. No invite. Actually, well, I wanted to go in, was it 2021? Yeah, 2021, when Janae got nominated for 3 Grammys. Okay. So I really wanted to go, and I was going to go. I think you still got to buy a ticket, but yeah, I think
you could buy a ticket.
I think maybe you're eligible if you've been not. Okay. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Because I mean, when they give out like 100k goodie bags and all these things, so if I got to drop a little 2 bills, 100k. Okay, maybe I'm making it up. By the way, don't quote me on this. Cause I saw the way someone looked at me off camera. I'm like, okay, all right, no, okay, I hear that, and so. I think we've kind of touched upon it, but like, are you allowed to talk about some of the artists that you've worked with, and how do these collaborations come about?
Through just so many different avenues, but random.
Who's like top 3 biggest people that you've worked with? They're not going to listen to this, and if they do, I'm doing something right, so it's blessed.
Doja Cat.
Okay. She seems like an interesting person.
She was sick. She was super fun. And I was like blown away at how quick she works. It's crazy. And like how talented that woman is. She's fucking sick. Like she was like, hear the beat in the room, knocking out amazing melodies, everything. Yeah. But that was like pre-pandemic, 2019, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was just after Moo. Do you remember Moo?
No.
And she did the cow thing.
I just remember her looking like a cat, bro. That's all I remember.
That was the cow?
Was it?
I think it was when she did the cow video. Oh, no, yeah. She did look like a cat recently, right?
Yeah. I think it was at the Met Gala.
Okay, yeah.
She's always doing stuff. Okay, so Doja, that's one. Give me another two.
Janae Aiko.
Sick. Love her.
Yeah, yeah. Love her. We love Janae. Who else? Jessie Reyes.
Okay. They're all...
Probably give you another one.
They're all... what about UK? Because I know you work with some UK big UK people.
Nines.
That's it. Crop circles.
Big up Nines. Big up Nines.
Yeah. And was he honest with you? Yeah. Was he really? Because he raps up mad stuff. Nah. I'm joking.
I wasn't actually with him. It's so mad. The Nino. Nines thing.
Like, oh, is it? You wasn't with him? I met
him now. And we talk on we text or whatever. Like, I'll send him beats and stuff. But... he's a sick guy. He's a really good guy. He's funny. He gives you a lot of time. I met him at a club recently and I was like, yo, we did the outro together. He's like, oh shit, bro, what's up? Da, da, da.
And then that's it.
Yeah, he's cool. But that was hilarious how that they recorded to, he doesn't even know how he got that beat. Well, he didn't for a while. And he had that song before he went to jail. And he's like, and then he came out and they were getting ready to put the project out. And they were like, we can't find the person who produced this beat. And then eventually his producer, Sharon Proof, big up Sharon Proof, hit me and was like, yo, did you produce this beat? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, yo, Nines has done a whole song to it. It's fucking sick. Like, it's coming out on the project. And I was like, what? That's mad. And then I was in Tokyo and I was with my friend David Ali, who he's Kehlani's manager, sick guy. He's close with Nines. And I was saying to Nines, I was saying to David, I was like, I'm pretty sure I have a song on... Nines' album. He was like, what? He's like, nah, it's done, like, it's finished. And I was like, really? And we were like, I was with him and I found the beat and I was like, this one. He's like, bro, you produced this?
Yeah.
He's like, bro, I've been looking for the person who produced this for fucking like almost a year. And I was like, it's crazy. And then I sent him that beat and he passed it on to Nines. So
it was David Ali who did it?
Yeah.
Okay, so
big up David.
Big up David.
Yeah.
Ali. Get in contact. Me. I can freestyle. Come at me. Let's no, I'm go. Joking. what happens if they don't realize it's you and then they release that tune and you hear that? Like, what happens? Are you just getting no bring-ins? Are you getting no credit?
I'll just hit someone up being like, yo, I produce this beat.
How do you produce receipts?
I just show you the whole project of me the whole thing. Like, okay. Yeah, plus also... a lot of times they need like all the parts. So like they need to be in contact with the producer for the producer to send them all the individual stems. They're called stems. They're like, you know, the piano, the kick, the snare, everything. So they can mix it mm-hmm. and make it ready, like radio ready to be released.
Mm-hmm.
So if they just put it out, then it wouldn't sound that good.
Okay. And then, all right. So we spoke about some of the artists that, the biggest artists that you've worked with. In terms of collaboration, is it difficult working with these artists? Are they all like really professional? Has there ever been a time where you're like, oh, I don't really want to work with this person, but it's like they're a big name, so you kind of just have to grin and bear through it?
I feel like I've been super lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Very diplomatic of my answer. I feel like I've been super lucky. I've had moments in the studio where I'm like, this is mad what's happening in front of me, but it's hilarious. So this is a good story.
Do you ever have like, how do you approach creative differences with people when in the studio?
Usually when it's like, if I'm working on an artist project, at the end of the day, it's their project. Like they're the one that has to be the face of what they're releasing. They're like, they've got to perform that song for the rest of their lives. So they get the final say. Yeah. So, I'll put my opinion across and be like, yo, I feel like maybe we should do this. And we'll argue, we'll battle. If it's someone, especially if it's someone I'm working with quite heavily and I'm close with and I'm passionate about, I'm like, I really think you need to do this. But at the end of the day, if they're like, nah, I want to do it this way. I want to say it this way. I want the beat to be like this. Then I'm of service.
Okay. It's funny. We've gotten like this far into the podcast and we've not actually spoken about like the genres of music that you produce. So let's actually take a step back in terms of, the music that you create and produce. I know you're going to say everything, but can you just give us a few of the different genres that you produce music for and maybe touch upon your favorite genre to produce music for?
Yeah. Yeah. I produce rap music, R&B, pop music, Afrobeats, electronic leaning music, singer songwriter music, everything. I do produce everything.
Okay, yeah, I knew that was coming, but I think it's good to hear that. And then, you know, obviously with like the advancements of technology, there's just so much that goes into it. Like, you know, you mentioned like the stems, right? And that's for each different part. How does one just come to understand like how you blend all of the different sounds together and how you can manipulate all of the different sounds? Because I've even seen stuff on like your Instagram where you were in like Japan and it was like you go into a shop and the sound of the ringing bell, and then you've taken that and you've like completely remapped it into like this crazy unique sound. Like, what are the softwares and devices that you're using to create these unique sounds?
A bunch of different ones, but yeah, I'm on Logic. I'm a Logic guy.
Okay.
People hate on Logic, but Logic gang, Pharrell produces on Logic, James Blake, come on guys. but obviously there's FL, there's Ableton, there's Pro Tools. I'm probably missed the Cubase. But yeah, and then I don't know, you get so many different like synths, VSTs, like It's hard like to fully explain it when you've been doing it for so long, you know, when it's like your second language, yeah. But you just, yeah.
In terms of, I feel like creating music is like a mathematical equation. What are the components of that equation? Like, is it just you start with the keys, you start with the bass? Like, because I feel like the words come last, right?
Sometimes, or
the words come first and then you're matching sounds and beats to it. Like, is there a formula that you use when you're creating your music?
I think each artist is different, but most of the time I'm like starting with chords, starting with melody, and then I'll move into drums and like how it's gonna move. Because the drums kind of dictate where it's going to go and what pocket it's in or what genre of music, if that's still a thing, it's in. but yeah, sometimes people come to me with like a melody idea that they've recorded that they're like, I want to write something around this. And then I'm like, okay, cool. For me, when I'm working on my own, it usually starts with like chords, keys, or a synth sound or something, or a guitar.
Okay. Mad. I'm just trying to see how I can, you know, break into the industry. So I'm trying to get.
I've been trying to be on tracks for years. Guys, I don't think you understand. Barry's going to be a rapper after he's a podcaster.
They call me Tens.
Yeah.
Yeah, me.
10-10.
Yeah, come on. Crop Squares. That's going to be the name of my first album. I'm moving mad. Okay. You know, we've spoken about the creative process, and I think that takes us nicely into Cabin Cookups, right? So for the listener, you do this show on TikTok, but you also release it on Instagram Reels. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, well, I'll let you explain it.
Yeah, I need to do another season. It's been long overdue, and I will. But it's like predominantly released on like YouTube as like a long form video. And then, yeah, I'll put them on TikTok and Instagram. But yeah, it's basically me collaborating with a producer friend, and I'll use like a cheap instrument, like a something that I'll just buy for like, I don't know, like a fiver, like this, like maybe a kid's toy instrument or whatever, and we have to sample that, we have to make a beat out of it.
It's fun, but like you make some deep beats, bro.
Yeah,
and that's
I still want to get one cut. Like, I would love to get like a song that goes out and it's like made.
Yeah, bro. I think you're onto something, man. Honestly, I know like it can be long, but I think when you're making that, is it you take the sound and then you put it into the Logic thing? So what is Logic? Sorry,
is it? So Logic is like a digital audio workstation. Okay. It's your canvas, like Ableton as well, FL Studio. It's your blank canvas where you have all the tools in there to make a song.
Ed Sheeran, he uses a loop pedal. Is Logic a loop pedal, or is that where you create the loop stuff?
A loop pedal is kind of like a live performance thing. So which is sick. Like, yeah, you basically will play a riff, play a pattern if it's four bars, and then you hit, and then that four bars will start looping.
Just keep
and then
going.
You got a new channel, so now maybe your beatboxing, so you beatbox and that's on that channel, hit the loop, loops again, and then you can start building.
Okay.
So I guess it is kind of almost in that way where you have the individual channels one maybe is a piano that you start playing, the next one is like a snare drum that you're putting in, the next one is a kick. So it's just like, it's like layers. It's like layers of a cake. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Okay. You've been in the music game for many, many years. It's been more than, I don't want to give away his age, but it's been normal. Coming up to two decades, yeah, yeah, bro. Coming up to two decades. What would you say? No, we're a few years away, but
coming up in a few years.
What would you say the most stressful part of being a music producer is?
Probably knowing like when your next thing is coming. Because it's very like you plant seeds, do all these sessions, put in a lot of hard work, and then you don't really have much control as to what's coming out next, when it's coming out. So you're kind of like, you're working towards like the next year type thing. So all the stuff that's coming out for me now, which like I'm on a good little run at the moment, like songs this year, songs are coming out, but that was all stuff I created last year or even the year before. And then, so now I'm creating for like next year, the year after.
That's mad.
So yeah, it can be challenging when you're having like, it just comes in ebbs and flows. It comes in like patterns. Like sometimes you're up and you're getting so many releases and it's like, everyone's gassing you, everyone's online being like, yo, you're sick. Da, da, da. And then you have a whole stint where nothing's coming out and you're like, I still do make music.
Yeah.
Working so hard. And
I'm still
like,
here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And people forget, don't they? When you're not active, they're like, oh.
Relevance is crazy, isn't it? And that's why you see some people doing some mad stuff in the media, because they're just trying to stay relevant. Mm. So when you're seeing stories and that, I hear that. All right. So you've mentioned that might be like the most stressful, challenging thing. What would you say is like the most rewarding thing about being a music producer?
It's pretty rewarding. Like, firstly, like, it's mad. I feel like it's sick what I do. Like, it's kind of cool. It's like part of my whole, music has always been part of my like everything, my identity, everything. It's like, yeah, I'm the music guy. So being able to do that every day is pretty rewarding. Like, just, yeah, it's pretty mad that this is what I do. Like, mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. That's rewarding. And then also, I don't know, I love like seeing, I love seeing reaction videos of people listening to my music. Like I just did this song for V from BTS.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah, called For Us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's cool. And I've been watching all the reaction videos of people listening to it, and it's like, yeah, sick. It's cool. It's cool to see how they react when like a certain drop happens or whatever. Yeah, it's cool.
And do you, when you're like reviewing people watching your work back, do you look at all the feedback as constructive? Because sometimes if you watch too much stuff, right, it can get in your head. Like, how do you channel it into a positive thing, I suppose? Because I know BTS is going to slap because, BTS is BTS. But if there's something that maybe isn't as well received, do you still continue to consume that content or do you?
It's funny. The only real experience I've had of that is New Jeans. Have you heard of New Jeans?
No.
They're sick. I wouldn't even call them K-pop because I think they make their own type of music, but they're Korean. Mm-hmm. And they're massive. They're huge, and their fan base is like so strong, and they're like diehard New Jeans fans. Mm-hmm. And I made a song for them, and when it came out, like I posted a breakdown video of it on TikTok, and at the beginning there was people being like, nah, this isn't it, da, 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 da. This is like just saying like really negative things about it, and it was funny. That was like my first ever experience of being like, oh, wow. Shit, people feel strongly about it. But then it's funny, like all the other fans came in and they're like, nah, this is it, I love this song, blah, blah, blah. So I was just watching it, I was just like, this is amazing.
Okay.
But I mean, you know what, like I'm just like, you're like, the fact that you have an opinion about something that I made is quite sick. Like,
yeah.
It's cool that you're at least listening.
It shows that you're having an impact on people's lives one way or another. I hear that. All right. I mean, this goes without saying, right? Like, to be a music producer, you need to be quite creative.
Mm.
If we put that aside, what is a skill you feel is needed to be successful in the music industry? Don't just say talent or something like that.
You gotta have talent. Wake up in the morning, you gotta read 5 books, 4 protein shakes.
Yeah.
No, you just need to be cool, man. I think like the main thing is like you need to be like a people person.
Okay.
And you need to be like, enjoy. Like, I'm in the room with people for like 8-12 hours, whatever, making a song. And like, you have to enjoy that person's company. And I think you have to be able to be like, especially when you're working in so many different types of music, there's so many different, music brings like all walks of life coming into the studio. And like, you have to be able to adapt to different people mm-hmm. and just like, just be open, be super flexible. If someone wants to change the idea mid session, you have to be like happy to just like be fluid. I feel like that's a really important thing.
You know, you mentioned working with Eve and BTS. We mentioned we've got 4 Grammy nominations. Sorry to keep bringing it up. I know you feel a bit awkward. What do you think has led you to be successful? Right. Mm. Because I think, you know, that's 4 more than a lot of people, right? Who've been doing music for a long time. Do you think, can you put it down to, you know, any one thing or bucket of factors?
Probably like, I don't know. It's like, it's kind of cliche to be like hard work, but like definitely like persistence. Mm-hmm. I haven't really stopped. Mm-hmm. Just like been going at this for so long. So I think when you're going at it with like no end, like there's no end to this. I'm just going to keep making music. Something's bound to happen. So I think definitely like persistence and just like continuously knocking on the door.
Yeah.
And there's been like a million and one doors that have been shut, and it's just always me and Mark. I mean, like, I'm super lucky. Like Mark, who's here, who's going to be loving this, is like, you know, that's like, I've got a team. I've got someone who like cares about this shit.
Ride or die.
Just as much as me. So, and we have like no's every single day, and It definitely used to be a lot harder, but now it's like, cool, what's the next one? Or like, cool, that's a no, but is it really a no? Like, mm-hmm. is there someone else that might say yes to mm-hmm. me getting in the room? Mm-hmm. So yeah, persistence is definitely key.
Mate, I love that. You know, you mentioned the fact that you've been nonstop for all this time. Do you have a good work-life balance is the first question.
Yeah, no, I feel like I do, because maybe I used to not. I think I do now. And like, yeah, okay. I work every day. I'm like doing something towards what I'm.
But you love it, right?
Yeah, but I love it. Yeah. Okay. And you know, like I'll definitely go out with the boys. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. The missus. You got time to do this thing. Yeah, and I was, yeah, yeah. So I was going to say, all right, you got a good work-life balance. Do you feel fairly compensated for what you do?
I do think creatives could get compensated better for what they do. Like, I think it's like, it's mad how much you get paid for streams nowadays and mm-hmm. stuff. And like, definitely was back in the day, you know, when you were getting success in terms of like how many people were listening to your music, it really was like, oh, it like added up to how much you were getting paid. It's mm-hmm. super different now. I definitely think like, labels argue with creatives all the time about how much they should be getting paid, mm-hmm. like what they have in their budget, etc. Mm-hmm. But I also feel blessed to be a producer and actually getting paid. Like as a songwriter, you're not getting paid. Like okay. a producer gets a producer fee, a songwriter doesn't get a songwriter fee. Mm-hmm. So I do think that that's something that like super needs to change.
Okay. And you've mentioned, it's funny that you touched upon like the streaming and how maybe it's not as representative now. With like all of the different trends that are emerging, how do you stay on top of everything, like musically, in terms of sounds and everything?
I just always listen to music and
always learning.
Yeah, always listening to music. And I do like, I'm like a clubber. I don't go out a lot, but my girlfriend, shout out Charlotte, she's a creative director at a company called Gaffer, and they throw a lot of nights, so I'm always going out.
I'm gonna beep out that name unless you give me some sponsorship for this episode.
Hey, big up Gaffer. So I go to a lot of nights, and like I see a lot of sick DJs, and I see how people move to certain types of music, new music, old music. That's always helpful. Like okay. seeing what, because I think like, and I'm on TikTok, you know, I'm looking at what's going on. And I think that is definitely really important. But I also think it's important to see what music does in the real world. Mm-hmm. Like when you're out, how people move and react.
Yeah, we've had some awful music in my office at times. Our office music is typically good, but when the music ain't slapping.
What are they playing in the office?
Bro, it's like elevator music. Do, 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 do.
That sounds kind of hot.
Sorry, that was just me. Yeah. I just made that up. No, okay, I hear that. All right, we're coming to the end. This has been such a good conversation. We got a quick fire round, okay, but just the final few questions before we get into that. First one, obviously you said you work every day. How do you unwind? You know, you've mentioned, you know, going to these nights out. Is there anything you do specifically to like chill out?
Make beats. Watch a good rom-com.
Okay.
No. What do I do to unwind? Yeah, just like, I don't know. I feel like I'm usually pretty unwound.
Okay, cool. So just
unless I'm on the phone to Mark in the morning, like, why isn't this coming out? But apart from that, I'm pretty chill.
You work every day and you produce a lot of beats. Do you have any productivity hacks?
Productivity hacks. Collaborating. Definitely collaborate with people because I'm working on my own project at the moment and I'm doing it by myself to begin with and it takes a lot longer. So if you're working with other people, you can just like flow off each other so much quicker.
Okay, sick.
Yeah, whether that's with them in the room or them or you sending like a little idea start. Like I send melodies to just like chords or whatever to producers all the time and then that will help them make a beat and then vice versa. People send me melodies all the time and I'll use that as inspiration to make something.
And then you're giving them feedback?
Not feedback, but we made it together.
Okay. To anybody who's looking to get into music, all right, like what would your advice be to them?
Get a laptop. Any advice. Just put in the 10,000 hours. Just like work. Just listen to music, study the greats, watch a bunch of YouTube. And then like work it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bro, that's a vibe, man. Ross, this has been sick, bro. Like I said, we do have a little bit of a quick fire round. Mm-hmm. So are you ready?
I'm ready, bro. Always.
Work from home or work from the office?
Both.
Or the studio? Yes, I am both. Okay. Yeah. Money or happiness?
Both.
Favorite day of the week?
Monday. Probably Monday. It's pretty fun.
Time in a group or time alone?
I'm gonna have to say both of that. Yeah.
Would you rather travel to the past or future?
Past.
Okay, first person to say that.
Yeah.
Favorite book?
The Alchemist.
Okay.
Is that a cliche one? Has everyone said that?
No one said that. Okay, I've had Harry Potter. Uh-huh. I've had some others.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah. Night out or night in?
Night out once a month and then night in the rest of it.
Who has it easier, men or women?
Men.
Okay, yeah. Good. You have to think about that. Name a book you think everyone should read.
The Alchemist and How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Okay, I'm gonna give one that we don't normally do. Mm. Name an artist you think everybody should listen to.
Bon Iver.
Okay,
because it's on my mind. I've been listening to it recently.
And then, yeah, last one, and this is again catered to you. If there's one artist in the world you could collab with, who would it be?
That's a tough one.
I just want first in your mind. It doesn't necessarily have to be the
first
big one.
First in my mind, K-Dot, Kendrick Lamar.
Okay, love that. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost.
This has been great. Yeah, no, but we do have a closing tradition.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, based on, you know, everything that we've discussed today and knowing what you know now, you know, you've been in the game a long time. What advice would you give your 16-year-old self? And would you still be doing the same thing?
I would definitely still be doing the same thing, knowing what I know. I think I would probably try and get on the artist tip a bit earlier, knowing what I know now. Like being an artist myself.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing what I know now, advice I would give to my younger self is don't worry about the filming. Start music.
And you know what? There's one thing that I didn't even ask before and I have to ask it before we go. Like where do you see Monroe in the next 5 and 10 years? Manifest it, bro.
Let's manifest. Are you ready? Let's close our eyes. No, I see myself developing a really great act, like an amazing artist. I see myself continuously releasing my own music under my own artist name. And I see myself on the top 10, actually we'll go top 5 Billboard charts.
Mate, I love it.
Yeah.
We received that. Let's go.
Okay,
so. Monroe, this has been like such a great conversation. Thanks for taking the time. I hope
you
enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me, bro.
Where can we find you? Any socials?
You can find me at Monroe Music, M-O-N-R-O Music. TikTok is at Monroe Music _. Instagram is at Monroe Music.
We're gonna put it in the show notes because we're getting it all kinds of wrong.
Yeah, add to you.
And for anyone who's got into this point in the show, guys, make sure you like, subscribe, share, comment, let us know, you know, what you thought about this episode. We really love hearing your feedback. But yeah, this has been another episode of What My Best Friend Does. If you didn't know, now you know. Over and out.
If you don't know, now you know.
See how I used the inspo there. We done.